visiting with Pioneer Field Agronomist Sarah Levis. Let's just talk fall harvest, things guys should be thinking about now that harvest is starting to wrap up.
Yeah, so corn harvest is starting to kind of get close to wrapping up all the time. You know, surprisingly enough, there's a few acres of corn, especially over in the Minnesota side, where maybe they got a little more rain last week that's still coming off. But in a lot of places, there's definitely some field work that's going on now, and fertilizer is definitely top of mind for those guys. And of course, fertilizer prices are high, and so trying to figure out the best way to manage that soil fertility is top of mind for a lot of farmers right now. And so one thing I just would like to remind everybody is to consider doing some soil testing, because the nitrogen levels in a lot of these soils after the drought is actually quite a bit higher than what we've seen in years past. You know, it's very possible that you're going to be finding some soil samples that are testing with more than 100 pounds of nitrogen in the 0 to 24 inch. And I think even behind some corn fields, finding soil nitrate tests between, you know, averaging about 50 to 60 pounds per acre is actually pretty normal this year. And so keeping that in mind, you know, that can help you balance out some of the high cost of the nitrogen this year. And so I am very much so encouraging farmers to be thinking about doing some soil testing this year.
Do we want to grid sample or zone sample, or what's the best option there?
So I think it kind of depends upon what's going on in your operation. I cover the central part of the Red River Valley, and so certainly there are some fields that are pretty flat in the same soil type, and we're not seeing a lot of variability in that. And that's sort of an instance. Doing even just a conventional soil test is very, very realistic, just so you have some kind of an idea. But for nitrogen testing, doing zone sampling, it can be very effective and a great way to understand how the nitrogen is changing geographically across the field. And as you get outside of those really flat areas that are pretty consistent, and you kind of get outside of the traditional Lake Agassiz area, we start to see some of those variable fields. And making sure that we're understanding just where the nitrogen is different in a field can really help. If there's ever a year to investigate variable rate technology and fertilizer, it's this year. So I would highly encourage people to consider that.
Yeah, especially with the cost and even possibly the availability of fertilizer.
Absolutely. Suddenly the cost of a variable rate prescription looks very, very cheap.
Yeah, for sure. You wanted to highlight some hybrids.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been watching the Pioneer products really close throughout corn harvest here, and there's definitely some products out there that I think guys should be aware of. We're very enthusiastic about our 85-88-day hybrid and also our 87-36-day hybrid. It's an 85 and an 87-day hybrid. They are performing really well. The 85-day has been a real steady eddy throughout the entire drought this year, and so we're pretty pleased with how it's just hung in some of the tougher spots. It's been just great. And the 87-36 this year is just really, really pumping out the yield. So I would highly encourage farmers to be looking at some of those Pioneer products that are out there. So,
okay.
I don't know if I stumbled too much over that one.
if you want to do it again, go ahead. Always I can clean it up or whatever too.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I guess too, with the drought, are there things that we need to be thinking about when we're considering next year's hybrids? Especially coming off the drought.
Absolutely. And one of the first and foremost things I think that's important to think about is data. There's a lot of data floating around in the countryside right now from a lot of different companies. And certainly, this year's data poses some definite challenges for us in consideration for everything. Now, we can learn a lot about hybrids this year and how it handled the drought, but I think it's important to remember that, although we would like to forget, 2019 really isn't that long ago. And so mud and cool conditions is also something that we have to deal with. So I think it's really a good idea if we can be taking a look at three-year data as much as possible, and taking into account that variability. A person can really learn a lot about a hybrid with the past 3 years of data. So I think it's a really good idea to consider it from that standpoint. And a couple of hybrids in particular that I'm really excited about in the Pioneer lineup happened to the 85-88 and the 87-36 hybrid. The 85-88 really handled the drought stress quite well this year. Very, very pleased with it. It was quite the steady eddy for us. And 87-36 really had some top end yields in a lot of places, and it's I'm surprised at how well it's performing in our plots. So just a couple of hybrids to consider. Lots of conversations to have. Certainly a good time to sit down and visit with your local seed rep and really learn about what hybrids are going to be fitting in best for your operation and how you do things for your farming operation.
That one was nice. You did that well, that one.
Sounded a lot better. Thanks for a take two.
All right. I got a note here, too. Supposed to ask you about the SBAR in the upcoming legislative session, too, if you got time.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I have time if you guys have
okay,
time.
Okay, yep. Yeah, we do.
And of course, you know, I'd appreciate it if you could kind of separate Pioneer from SBAR a little bit.
Yep.
And for this one, you could call me a local farmer from Hillsboro. And I am currently actually serving as the chair of SBAR. And so one of the things, and beyond the legislative session, well, I'll give you a brief update on what's going on with SBAR and what we're up to lately, because it has been very busy in the course of the last month. And so, you know, I've been going out to Bismarck, and Greg Lardy has been going out to Bismarck to represent the Ag Experiment Station in Extension and the priority list that was created for the 21 biennium, and to try to see if we can get any more of our priorities funded through the ARPA money that has come down from the federal government. And those conversations have been going really well. We've had some great conversations with a lot of legislators. I think the legislative session the committee work that happened in October, it felt a little bit different. You know, we're not used to doing committee work and appropriation work to this extent like this in October during harvest. And so that is definitely a little bit of a different thing for us to be experiencing. But it's been going well. I think the legislators are doing a really good job with a very different situation. And so it's fun to be definitely part of that process. The other thing that's going on with SBAR right now is while we are still representing the previous priority list that we have made with the current appropriation work that's happening in Bismarck, is we are starting to take input for the next prioritization process for the upcoming biennium. And so we actually started that process just this week. We had 2 days of input sessions in Fargo, and we had some great conversations with some stakeholders. Some stakeholders actually came in front of us that had never been in front of us before, and it was wonderful to have those people there. So just lots of exciting things. We're starting to definitely learn a lot about what's important to our stakeholders. There is another upcoming input session in person in Dickinson on December 7th. So if anyone is interested as a stakeholder to share with us what is important to them, and they can help us understand where they think the Ag Experiment Station and Extension or what the Ag Experiment Station and Extension should be doing for priorities We would love to hear from them. But coming in front of us in person isn't the only way to communicate with us. If you go to our website, and if you just Google Esper, it comes right up. You can certainly submit your testimony to us via email or remotely. So we would love to hear from you.
All right. Very good. Anything else?
I don't think so. I felt like I rambled a little bit, so feel free to chop up whatever you need.
Yeah, exactly. We'll use the sound bites out of it. So, well, it's good to have the input. So what I'll do is I'll make two interviews out of this. So the Pioneer one won't have any of the Esper stuff on it. So.
Perfect. I'd really appreciate that. Yeah. So, but really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you guys about that.
Yeah.
So.
Very good.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you. Yep. Happy Friday.
Yeah. Speaking of the house harvest coming, everybody pretty much wrapping up?
I would say in my territory, it's surprising because the Ada area got more rain like in the last time. And so the sugar beet harvest kind of got a little delayed. I'm hoping they kind of get a lot of the beets wrapped up over there now. And so after that, then the guys that have beets have some corn. So I'd say, you know, like the corn is probably 90, 95% done. But the guys that have corn left, they probably have, you know, it's either a beet guy that's got a couple quarters that they're not super serious into corn, or it's a really big farm and they've got like thousands of acres left. So, because they're just wrapping up their corn harvest. So that's kind of where we're at. But for the most part, it's really wrapping up out there. You know, I'd say soybeans obviously have been done for, you know, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Sugar beets, I think, will be done today. I'm hoping we're going to be done with corn on our farm in the next couple days.
Yeah. Have yields been satisfactory on the corn?
You know, I would say the yields are, they're surprising me. But at the same time, they're widely variable. I'd say anywhere from, you know, 80 bushel up to 220 bushel across my territory. And keep in mind, I cover from Clay County up through, like, even Clearwater County and then over Grand Forks County and then Trail County, if that kind of helps you. And Norman is obviously in my territory, too. So that kind of is that I say 80 up to 220, but I'm starting to hear, I'd say in the last week, 10 days, maybe a little bit more volume of yields around that 140 mark. And so I've been really happy with that. More pleased than what I thought it was going to be at the beginning of harvest for sure.
Well, yeah, especially considering how much water we had. So.
Oh gosh. And that Norman County area is really interesting. The very east side of Trail County, right along the Red River, was in a D4 drought. And Norman County was in a D4 drought. You know, we don't, to date, I still haven't prayed for rain at all because I don't do drought. I do mud, and we don't pray for rain where I'm from.
yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's... So, but the crop in some of those places got pretty tough. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So anyway.
Widely variable. So very good. All right. I kept you way longer than you intended.
No, I appreciate your time, Randy. All right. Thanks for working with me.
All right. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay. Have a good one.
All right. You too.
Happy
See
Friday.
Ya. Yep. Bye.